Welcome to this week's episode of WDKN's Jesus Roundtable, where ministers gather around the Word and spend time discussing the most important person in all of human history. Pull up a chair, grab your Bible, and join us at the table.
Welcome to the Interfaith Roundtable here on your hometown station, WDKN 1260 AM and 101.5 The One FM. I'm Richie G., your host, and today we have one individual with us.
I am the Matthew Hyatt.
That's right. So Matthew and I, we've done a couple shows. We're just the two of us, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
We basically run off all of our friends.
That's what makes it fun.
Recording at the beginning of summer where travel time is going full steam ahead, so it's kind of hard to get all the guys together.
We try to get as many as we can in when we do get together. So we are in lesson 19. First, Matthew, why don't you go over the website iTunes and just give
if you're listening on the radio, first, thanks. WDKN really appreciates that, and so do we. But let us know. If you can't listen during this 4 o'clock time, if you would, go to our website, JesusRoundtable.com, or you can find us on Facebook if you search for Jesus Roundtable Show or the iTunes Store. It's all free. You don't have to be real good at computers. On the website, there's a place where you can give us your email address, and we'll email you every time there's a new show. You can listen to it on your phone. You can listen to it on your iPad. I don't know how to listen to it on an 8-track player, but I'm sure there's a way. If you go to the website, it'll help you download it, and that would just help us out a lot. And if you'd leave a review or a comment, that would really help. And I'm thinking here in a couple shows, we may give you a shot where you can send us a text message or leave us a note or something, because we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know that you exist. Because it's kind of lonely in here, just the two of us.
Yeah, you don't know. We know there are people listening because we do get some responses.
We do.
It'd be fun to know. You know,
we'd like to know a little bit about who you are, and what you'd like, and what we've done that helps you, and what you don't like quite so much.
Right.
So.
And questions of any kind, anything, any kind of feedback, we'll get back to you.
Compliments, sweet.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, no.
But even if it's not, we'll take it.
Yeah, I guess. We'll forward that to the guys who aren't here today.
That's right. And also, if anyone's listening and wants to be a sponsor of the show, we haven't really got into that at all, but at some point we're going to need some sponsors. So if anybody likes what we're doing, give us a call at the radio station, 446-4000, ask for Richie G., and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, you could be the title sponsor of the Interfaith Roundtable.
And we'll give you a good deal, work out some commercials for you, get your name mentioned during the week as well as on the show.
That'd be pretty cool.
It'd be a good deal for both of us.
Yeah, that would help. So thank you. Thank you in advance. So we're in John chapter 6.
Lesson 19, where Jesus walks on water. And this sign is closely connected to the last study we did, the feeding of the 5,000. It takes place the night after that miracle and continues on to the next day. Also, we'll encounter the first I am statement of Jesus in this reading here. So it's an important area, an important part of John as we get into the I am statements as well.
Definitely.
So we're in verses chapter 6, beginning verse 16, and we're not going to read all of this. It's verses 16 to 71, but in verse 16, let me find that real quick. Let's see. All right. You want to read verse 16?
Sure.
Matt, real quick while I get there.
When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. So it's evening, it's night, it's dark, they're alone. You know, if this were a novel, the first lines of this story would be, it was a dark and stormy night.
Right.
You know? So John is setting the scene. By the way, John's really good at the dramatic. Mm. And so don't miss that when you read this gospel. They row out, verse 18, the sea has become rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. And just imagine that scene. By the way, the Sea of Galilee is probably less than 10 miles at the widest point. So if they row 3 or 4 miles, where are they? The dead center in the dead of night. I want you to remember they're on a small wooden fishing boat.
Right.
It doesn't have, you know, a great galley or cabin where it's insulated. It doesn't have, you know, a whole lot of mass to it so it doesn't get tossed around. It doesn't have electric lights. It doesn't have a compass.
Right. Pitch dark.
Yeah.
You know, middle of the Sea of Galilee.
And I assume with a strong wind blowing, there's probably some clouds in the sky, and it is dark. If you've ever been on the sea or even a lake at night, without a moon, without stars, it is dark, 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 dark.
Yeah, and remember, some of them were fishermen.
Yeah.
So they, while the others, a few might be scared, you would think, why would they go out there like that in the middle of the night with wind? And why don't they wait till the next day? Well, they're used to doing this.
Yeah.
Which is important when you see how scared they get.
Yes.
In the future.
When I fly, I watch the flight attendants because I'm kind of a nervous, jittery flyer. You know, the little bumps. While intellectually I know that turbulence is normal and safe and blah, 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 blah. The wings probably aren't going to fall off. You know, when you hit one of those good that just drops,
makes
you kind of
skip a beat.
You know, but what I do is I watch the flight attendants, and if they're walking up and down the aisle, we're good. But when they strap in, I think, note to self, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. And if you see them scream with their arms up in the air, running to the back, what do you do then?
That's when you pray. That's when you pray a lot. So when the fishermen are scared on the water, that's your sign.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. Verse 19, they've rowed 3 or 4 miles. What do they see? They see Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you're 3 miles from land, 4 miles from land,
yeah.
And all of a sudden someone's walking on the water.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what's your first reaction?
Yeah, you're like, what in the world? I'm seeing something.
Yeah. You know, this isn't good.
Yeah.
I've seen horror movies, and this doesn't end well.
Even picturing in your head, it's a ghostly figure, right? In your mind, you're thinking Jesus probably had on normal, you know, light color clothes or in the warm desert area. You see someone in white coming towards you in the pitch dark on the water. Yeah, that's a scary moment for anybody.
Man, and, you know, especially when you remember that a lot of ancient cultures associated seas with death and the underworld. You know, most of the mythologies had you crossing a river or crossing under a sea.
Right.
So to see a ghost on a sea, you kind of think, no, we're dead.
Nothing good.
We have died.
And nothing good comes from that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Jesus says to them in verse 20, it is I. Do not be afraid.
Yeah. Man.
Comforting words. Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. It's easy for you to say, Lord.
Yeah. Then they were glad to take him in the boat, verse 21. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So I call that the subtle miracle in this because I think it's describing a miracle there. One, Jesus walks on water. Two, I get the sense he calms the storm.
Right.
Now, it doesn't say that in this passage explicitly, but then three, the boat immediately was somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he zapped them.
Yeah, they transported, almost like Philip in the book of Acts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He just leaves and he's somewhere else.
That's
Same deal.
So that's something else. So that story.
Yeah,
walking on water.
Yeah.
You know, what do you learn from it?
Another one of those stories where we've heard it, even if you went to Sunday school as a kid and never went back to church the rest of your life.
Yeah,
everybody's heard this story. You know, and the walking on water part is what we focus on. But also it goes on, I believe, this talks what happens to Peter, right? Is this the passage? Or is that?
I think that's the next passage.
The next passage, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the other walking on water
story. All right, yeah, just making sure.
Yeah, and by the way, listeners, it is so easy to get confused.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's feeding 5,000 in John, there's a feeding of 4,000, there's, you know, sometimes these stories. Remember, Jesus did a lot in his 3 years of ministry and his 33 years on earth.
Yeah.
So
this wasn't the only time that it happened.
Correct.
So, first time.
Yes.
That we know of. But not the only time.
That's correct.
So, as we look at this, remember, this is on the heels of the feeding.
Yeah.
Of the 5,000. And yet, they're still scared.
Yeah.
You know, when the storm comes and Jesus is there. You would think after the feeding, they would already be like, hey, listen, he just fed 5,000 people, everybody. Guys.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I'm sure he can take care of this. But how quickly we forget.
Man. But, you know, at some token, Jesus isn't with them. You know, they go out on the boat by themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were all right as long as they were close to Jesus.
Right.
But now Jesus isn't here.
Yeah.
So they think.
And the first thing that goes wrong.
Yeah.
And
what do you know? Jesus shows up.
Yeah.
I think that's actually kind of cool because it shows that Jesus is present even when you don't realize he
is. Right.
In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples.
Yeah.
He says, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yeah.
And that's an important passage for us. Yeah. We are not alone.
That's a good point. Jesus knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't off somewhere unconcerned, you know, not paying attention. they felt like that. But yeah. Immediately, you know, Jesus was there. As soon as things got rough, Jesus was there for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know what your experience is in stormy seas, you know. I've never been on a boat tossed by the sea.
Yeah.
I have been on an airplane or two that's been
tossed
up a little bit. But, you know, think about the times when you have been afraid and how easy it is for you to think that you have been abandoned by God, or that you, if not even abandoned by God, just that you are alone. And this story kind of stands out to me as Jesus demonstrating to the disciples, you are never alone
right.
when you're a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
It is. It is. There are many times in life where you feel like you're alone. You
yeah.
feel, you know, whether it's a certain problem that no one else can help you with.
Yeah.
Or whether it's a burden you're carrying or whatever it is. And we need to take comfort. There's other verses as well, you know, where the Lord says, I'll leave you and never forsake you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different verses that say the same thing.
Yes.
And we forget that sometimes, that no matter where we are, what the situation, the Lord's there. And he knows the situation before we do.
Absolutely.
And he knows what we need. And that is the end of the first segment here on the Interfaith Roundtable. We're going to take a short commercial break and come back with the second half of our show right after this.
While we're away on a quick message break, could you help us out? If you're listening to this show on iTunes, take just a minute and leave us a review. It'll only take a second, and it's the best way to get word out about the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for helping. Now back to this week's episode of the Interfaith Roundtable.
Welcome back to the second half of the Interfaith Roundtable. We're in section 19, Jesus Walking on Water, John 6. So if you have a chance, if you're not there yet, please get there. I'm with Matthew Hyatt. Say hello, Matthew.
Hi.
We're back for the second half here on the Interfaith Roundtable. So we are in John 6, and if you've taken any time to read John 6, you know, there are a lot of tough verses and statements made in John 6. The crowd struggles with understanding what Jesus meant and said.
Yeah.
And we have trouble today with that.
So before the break, well, last week's show, we talked about Jesus feeding 5,000, and just, man, that's a hard scene to imagine. Then immediately before, right before this commercial break, we talked about how Jesus walked on water, showed up, and teleported the disciples. And again, on the next day, verse 22, the crowd realized something fishy has happened. So they realized Jesus isn't where they thought he was. The disciples aren't where they... So they go find him. And they go find him. And this sets up a series of questions and answers. And I found that a lot of people do pretty good reading the Bible stories, you know, Jesus did such and such, but we're not as good at reading these dialogues between Jesus and the crowd. So yeah. I think what Richie and I are going to try to do is sort of work through what the crowd said and what Jesus said and see if that helps you guys follow through. Mm. Sound good?
Sounds good. In verse 25, the crowd asked, when did you come here?
Okay, so the crowd's saying, how in the world did you get here? You weren't here a few minutes ago. You didn't take a boat.
Mm. Yeah,
when did you get here? And Jesus doesn't answer the question in his very typical Jesus way. Verse 26, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. And when he says not because you saw signs, I think he means not because you understood the signs.
Mm.
Don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that goes to eternal life.
Right.
So the crowd says, when did you get here? Jesus said, you're just following me because I fed you.
Yeah.
You really should follow me because I have eternal food.
Right.
Okay? What's the crowd say next?
The crowd says, what must we do to be doing the works of God?
And Jesus says, you need to believe in him whom God sent. By the way, who's that?
Jesus.
Yeah. So we're kind of speaking in a little bit
he's
of a roundabout way.
Yeah. Third person.
But he's kind of trying to set him up to understand this.
Yeah.
Because if I walked in and said, what do I need to do to make God happy? Obey Matthew. I mean, you're immediately going to shut that down.
Right, right. Obey me, right? He doesn't say obey me.
But if I tell you, you need to obey God's people.
Right.
Okay. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Now we can talk about who God's people are.
Yeah. And remember, they just earlier said that this is the prophet we've been waiting for.
Yeah. Right? So they're
so
part
some
of the
authority
world.
There.
Totally.
And,
totally.
And then the crowd asks, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you?
Okay. Now, this just seems strange to me because it's right after feeding 5,000, walking on water, healing a lame man, healing an official's son, and turning water into wine. But, you know, hey, we need one more sign. And they point out our forefathers got signs. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about what God did for Moses or what God did with the manna in the wilderness, etc. I love how Jesus basically answers this question. They said our forefathers got signs. Jesus said, Moses didn't do signs. God did. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Moses didn't give you manna. God gave you manna. God's bread is the one that God sent.
Mm.
Okay, so you see he's setting something up again. So head to verse 34, and what's the crowd say after that?
Give us this bread always.
Okay, and Jesus' response is incredibly famous. Verse 35, I am the bread of life.
Mm.
Now, I want to time out for just a second and say, I am the bread of life is one of those passages that gets quoted out of context all the time.
Right.
You know, Jesus is the bread of life. He satisfies and he smells good. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's sort of almost a romantic notion.
Yeah.
And while I'm not disagreeing with that, put it in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is kind of getting on to the crowd saying, you're just following me because I gave you food. I've got something way better.
Yeah.
And they keep saying, well, we want that. And he says, I am that thing that
right.
you want.
Right.
So if I were going to preach this text, which I may have just started doing accidentally. Sorry, Richie.
That's fine.
I would probably start asking, what do you really love? You know, what do you wish you had but more of?
Mm.
Jesus is that and more. Want him. Seek after him.
Yeah.
So how does the crowd respond to Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger or thirst or anything like that?
Grumbling, the crowd grumbled and said, isn't this Joseph, the carpenter's kid? How can he claim to be from heaven?
Okay, so Jesus says, I am the bread which comes from God. I come from God. I am the thing God's given you. I am manna. And the crowd's response basically is, how can he say that? We know his mom and dad.
Mm.
So what does Jesus say in response to that? Quit your grumbling, basically.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets this. You have to be willing to hear. I am the bread. He repeats himself.
Mm-hmm.
He says it again, basically to say.
Yeah, it's me. I'm the bread of life.
You did not hear me wrong.
Right.
You know.
Right.
This is a hard thing. How's the crowd respond to that?
Arguing amongst themselves, how does he give us his own flesh to eat?
This just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, they get angry. They start arguing with each other. What is he talking about? How can he give us his bread? How can he be the bread? I mean, he doesn't want us to chew on him, does he?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm with the crowd here.
Right.
What is he talking about?
It's a strange saying to their ear.
Ought to be to ours, too.
Right.
Just, except we've gotten used to it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that makes reading the Bible difficult sometimes is we've gotten used to
it. You just gloss over it.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, hey, this is radical. What he's saying is radical. What he's saying to them is, in their mind, radical.
Yes.
Like, what is this guy? He's crazy.
What is going on here? Yeah.
And you notice they were fine when they thought he was a prophet.
Yeah.
They had no problem with that.
They were fine with the miracle worker.
Yeah. But now that he starts to say he's from heaven, now that changes things.
And especially now this, eat my bread, eat my body, drink my blood stuff.
Yeah.
He responds to their argument in verse 52 and 3. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life in you. And the crowd just basically says,
yeah, this is crazy.
This is a hard saying, verse 60.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus is teaching a lot here. And if I were going to summarize verses 25 through 60, I would basically say, Jesus is claiming to be from heaven. Jesus is claiming to be God's gift. And he's claiming to be the gift that satisfies anyone who will receive him, and not everyone will receive him.
Right.
And kind of ironically, they're not receiving the message of him saying, you won't receive me.
Yeah.
Because you remember, this starts out, if you go back to verse 15 of this chapter, with them getting ready to make him king by force.
Right.
So,
and it's also during Passover, right?
Yes.
Which would be the feast, also the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yeah. So
that's
what
he's bringing it to their mind about. So, you know, so it would have been tied in with that as well.
Totally. Totally. Now, after this dispute, Jesus kind of turns to his closer followers, not the crowds, but his students, his disciples. In verse 64, he says, there are some of you who do not believe. This is why I told you no one can come to me unless it's granted by the Father. Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus turns to the 12, you know, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and then the rest, and says, do you want to leave me too? What did Simon Peter say?
He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
And we have believed, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a cool passage.
Yeah, they got it. He got it at that point.
Yes.
You know, he understood this, while the other, you know, and he just went through saying that only the Lord can draw.
Yeah.
You know, and we go back to the Matthew passage where he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It's another one of those moments where it's not that he's just coming up with it.
He's not the smartest guy in the room. He's
right.
The most receptive to God.
If that's a good point
way to describe it.
Yeah.
What do we do with this passage for us as modern readers, as hearers? What does this mean to us, I guess?
Well, first, the I am passage is what we usually focus on.
Yeah.
The fact that it is a statement of deity.
Yes.
Very important. You know, Jesus wasn't just
God
a teacher.
You. I am God.
Yeah. you know, he's the bread of life, as you said, sustenance.
Survival.
And also unleavened bread, sinless.
Yes.
As part of it. In their mindset, it would have been time of unleavened bread. So when he says that, right?
Yeah.
Unleavened bread is
it's on their
sinlessness.
Mind. It's on their mind. And another thing I hear is Jesus says some difficult things, and there are some difficult things in Scripture, even for us today with 2,000 years of backstory to look back on. And I have a choice to make. How will I respond when Jesus gets difficult? Will I walk away and say that he doesn't fit my preconceived ideas, or will I follow him anyway?
Right. Yeah.
And you know, this might be the wrong illustration to make, but as our society has changed in quite a few ways, there are some parts of Christianity that are no longer pleasing to the culture in which we live. And we'll face a choice. Everyone around me thinks that X, Y, and Z is okay, but Jesus says A, B, and C. Will I listen to the crowd, or will I listen to Jesus?
Right.
Well, I don't understand why God should care about this. Well, Jesus said he did, so I need to pay attention to
that. That's a good point. I never thought of it from that perspective, but you're right.
That's probably not a good sign if no one else ever thought of it.
No, no. Well, it just shows you that I haven't thought a lot about it. But, you know, you're right. There are hard sayings in Scripture. Even the easy ones, when you really get down to it, we're so used to them.
Yeah.
The whole thing's hard. It's a miracle to believe that we can be saved through Christ, that we can't earn it. You can just go right down the list. But you're right. Especially today, there are things, our culture, and it has to do with, it's not even one subject, it's 100 subjects, where culture is saying the exact opposite.
Yes.
Whether, you know, whatever it's on. And what are we going to do? Are we going to bend to culture?
Or
are we going to stick?
Are we
going to
stand?
Word of God.
Are we going to say to Jesus, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of life.
Yeah, it's great.
Do y'all sing that song, Wonderful Words of Life?
Sure.
That's I think this
gonna
is the passage
it?
That
you
no,
sing together? No.
And all of a sudden you hear about the car wrecks for the poor people that were listening. But I think this is the passage that inspired that.
Really?
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words
right.
of life. I love that passage.
Yeah. And no matter... You know, and the other point is, you know, there's a lot of things in Scripture that we can argue over that we don't understand, but so what?
Yes.
Jesus has the words of life, right?
Absolutely.
We might not understand everything, but we do know enough of his words to know who he is and what he's done for us.
Yeah. Man, you know, I read a story, and I don't remember the names, but it was about an American prisoner of war who was captured and kept in the Hanoi Hilton you hear so much about, and I think it was for several years that he and other airmen were there, and they were mistreated, and they were tortured, and they were forbidden access to Scripture and things like that. And they made it their goal to try to come up with as much Scripture as they could remember between all of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nobody has all things memorized. But between all the different people, they could each... I remember the 23rd Psalm. I remember the Lord's Prayer. And wasn't there a time Jesus said such and such? No, I think it was such and such.
Yeah.
And together, they pieced together that story. And if you'd asked any of them before, do you really know the Bible?
Right.
I don't think the answer would have been yes. But in that moment, they realized they knew what they needed to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love
cool
that story. Because so many people in our church think, well, I don't know anything. Well, What do you know?
Yeah.
What could we put together?
You know more than you think you do.
I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, "It's not the passages in the Bible I don't understand that worry me. It's the ones that I do." Mm. Pray for your enemies. There's not a whole lot of confusion about that one. What does it mean? Well,
pray for your enemies.
You know. Yeah, and I don't think it means pray for God to kill them.
Yeah. Could be right.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. I like that. They're simple. You know, forget about all the tough stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go to the simple stuff and live that.
And even in the toughness of this story,
yeah,
in a lot of ways it's simple. Are you going to follow Jesus?
Right.
Are you going to trust him?
And he is the bread of life.
Yeah.
You know, he's sinless. He's God incarnate.
Yeah.
And he has the words of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, if you're about to offer an altar call, I'm going to come forward with you.
Be the first one in a while, but they're always good. Where are we going next, Matthew?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. We'll be in John chapter 9 next week, and that's a really cool story where Jesus gives sight to a blind man. So John chapter 9, if you want to read it, we look forward to seeing you next week.
And get ready for the next lesson. So we appreciate you tuning into the Interfaith Roundtable. We enjoy it. Please contact us. My email is rgirdelli@aol.com with prayer requests, questions, whatever you'd like. You can email me or contact us on our website or Facebook. We want feedback, so please do that.
Yeah, we want to know that we're not just talking to ourselves.
Yeah, that would help.
The doctor said if that happened again, I should really get help. So,
exactly. You know. So it's a medical necessity. Please let us
please
know.
Help us. Please help us.
So we appreciate you tuning in, and we will see you next week, Lord willing, here on the Interfaith Roundtable.
Thanks for listening to WDKN's Jesus Roundtable. Listen live on Sundays at 4 at WDKN 1260 AM or 101.5 The One, or download the podcast from iTunes or JesusRoundtable.com.